When President Bush nominated Samuel Alito to the U.S. Supreme Court, he specifically mentioned Alito's environmental record, saying that Alito had moved aggressively against environmental crimes. With me to talk about the record is Professor Cass Sunstein from the University of Chicago Law School. And Professor, thank you for joining me.
Thank you so much.
So does Judge Alito have much of a record on the environment?
Not a lot. He has some tea leaves on the environment, but he doesn't have an extensive environmental record.
So how can we judge the judge in terms of the environment?
I think the best way is to see how he acted in cases in general and to extrapolate from them to the environment. And there are two things that emerge. One is that he really cares about the meaning of legal texts. So this is a judge who, if the text is pro-environment, he's very likely to follow it. This is not someone who, like some judges, has a kind of pro-business orientation in his approach to the law. He has an insistence on paying close attention to the legal text. That's not pro-environment, it's not anti-environment, but it may come as a comfort to those who fear the role of ideology for Judge Alito. On the other hand, and this is a qualification to what I've just said, where legal texts are ambiguous, he has tended in other areas of the law to defer to established authorities, including to government agencies. So often his dissenting opinions are against a majority that's protected an individual or a small group against established authority.
Are you expecting that environmental issues will be part of the committee hearings inquiry? Is anyone going to ask about his environmental record?
It's a great question, and it's certainly something of great national importance. I expect that there's a good chance that at least one person at some point in the hearing will ask him. Unfortunately, what we're likely to get as by way of answer from him is something uninformative, like, you know, I'll follow the law, something like that. I do think that from the standpoint of the environmental community, this is not an exciting appointment, just because whatever President Bush has said as a Court of Appeals judge, he hasn't shown special receptivity to environmental claims. He's not like some judges. Justice Breyer actually is one who have a demonstrated record of caring a great deal about environmental protection, so that where the law is unclear for Justice Breyer, the environment is worth very serious consideration. Judge Alito doesn't have a record like that, though, as I say, he's not someone who's on any kind of rampage against the environmental laws. As I say, what emerges from the very few environmental cases we have and the broader picture is that this is a very conservative judge in a distinctive sense. That is, he's a conservative judge who defers to established institutions. There are many conservatives in the United States, including on the federal bench, who are willing to protect individuals against institutions where the law is unclear. And that's not Judge Alito's inclination. So I think even from the preliminary reading that people have had a chance to do, it's fair to say that when the case is a difficult one for a citizen who wants to protect the environment, Judge Alito isn't that likely to be on their side.
Professor Sunstein, I was going through the internet looking for cases that were germane to the environment in which Judge Alito had some role to play, and I found three. One of them was U.S. versus Raybar. Familiar with that?
Yes, I am.
Has to do with the transfer of possession of machine guns. How is that relevant to the environment?
Okay, it's a very big deal for the environment, and here's why. There's a very lively debate about the circumstances under which Congress can reach activity within one state that might have national environmental consequences. One example is the Endangered Species Act, where you might have a species that is just, say, in Oklahoma. What if it's lost? Is that something Congress can prevent under the Commerce Clause or not? That's disputed. Or suppose there's a body of water that's in one state, say New York. What if it's going to be polluted? Can Congress stop the pollution, claiming that water pollution, even in one state, will have effects on interstate commerce because people from other states maybe want to go swim there or something like that? That is also disputed. What Judge Alito suggested in the machine gun case was a willingness to strike down acts of Congress if it can't be clearly shown that interstate commerce is affected. So he took not a unique position, but a pretty unusual position, which is that the private possession of machine guns in one state can't be reached by Congress unless Congress can show and require an interstate commerce connection. Now, that does suggest that Judge Alito is likely to be with those federal judges who are willing to use the Constitution to forbid Congress from enacting environmental statutes whose connection to interstate commerce isn't that clear.
There's another case, Public Interest Research Group versus Magnesium Electron, in which the judge joined a 2-1 ruling saying that citizens really don't have access to the court under the Clean Water Act.
Yes, that's a very controversial ruling, and the Supreme Court went the other way on this issue. And this raises also a very large question, really it goes to the fundamentals of our legal system, about the circumstances in which ordinary people can bring suit to protect the environment if, for example, the Environmental Protection Agency isn't doing its job. Some judges think that unless a citizen can show a very specific and concrete connection between his or her life and what the Environmental Protection Agency is or isn't doing, unless the citizen can show that, the citizen can't get to in federal court. Justice Scalia seems to have a position roughly like that. Other judges think that if the citizen has some sort of connection with a water body or an area of the country, they have a plan to visit, suppose, or they're going to be affected in their recreational decisions by the environmental quality of the area, then they get to federal court to try to ensure the law is complied with. Justice Ginsburg, for example, has roughly that position. It seems as if Judge Alito, on this count, is more with Justice Scalia, that is, skeptical of the idea that citizens have access to federal court to bring about compliance with the law unless they can show a very concrete personal interest which is immediately affected by the government's decision. And that would be a big deal. For Judge Alito to replace Justice O'Connor would be to shift the law in a way that would probably, you can't be sure, but would probably decrease the ability of ordinary citizens to have access to court to protect the environment.
Professor Cass Sunstein is a professor of law at the University of Chicago. His new book is called Radicals in Robes. It's about the future of the U.S. Supreme Court. Professor, thank you again.
Thank you so much.